Go to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, the last chapter in 2 Peter back there by Revelation, 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 through 18, and I'll read verse 14 and then you read verse 15 with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for your wonderful salvation. Lord, please use this truth to open our eyes and see our need for you and love for you more. And Lord, so we can walk with you closer, please. And Lord, if there's somebody here and they don't know that they're on their way to heaven, if they don't have that peace in their heart, Father, help today be the day of their salvation. Help them to see what you've provided for them and what you've done for them so they don't have to die and go to hell. Thank you for your word. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now my text verse is verse 18, and we're going to go off of that. But look at verse 16. It says, also in all his epistles, speaking them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. It's talking about the Apostle Paul. And I know it's speaking of him in the third person. But you have to understand God used the Apostle Paul to administrate the New Testament church. Now think with me just for a second. Jesus started the church when he was here. He called out the disciples. But how you do the Lord's Supper, how you call a pastor, how you treat widows in the church, how you have deacons, all of that happens later, and God used the Apostle Paul to administrate that. So he's referring one of our examples, and I'll show you that this morning, the Apostle Paul. And then God says, he warns us at the end of the Bible here, if you aren't careful, there's things in the Bible that can destroy you. Isn't that what it says? There are some people who take the Bible and use it as an excuse to do wrong. If you want to use the Bible as an excuse to do wrong and justify sin, you may. There's plenty of people that do it. But God says, if you aren't careful, you can rest or twist what the Bible teaches to your own destruction. To me, what's amazing is the Bible that was God's word that was intended to show us how to get to heaven. If someone does not come to it with the right mindset, it can destroy you. Think about that just for a second. What God gave us that's eternal, you have to handle carefully. It helps if your mindset is right when you come to the Bible, I have God's word in my hand. If you have a King James Bible, you've got God's word. This isn't 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Black Beauty or, you know, Les Miserables or any other novel. Tale of Two Cities. Well, people think, oh, it's just an extra thick book. No, if you have a Bible and it's a King James Bible, you have God's word, what God has spoken and what will be forever. It's a book that will it's eternal. Understanding that, and that kind of helps us as we approach this, the last verse in 2 Peter says in verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, a very basic truth in your Bible is something like this. Now think with me. Did God write the Bible for lost people or saved people? Saved people. What happens when a lost person reads it? You end up with a cult. Mormons. Jehovah's Witnesses. You end up Catholicism. What happens when a lost person who doesn't have God inside them reads the Bible? There's no one to teach it to them. So you end up with a cult. So when you read the Bible, this was intended for a Christian or a saved child of God to read. This isn't intended. Every time the world gets a hold of the Bible, they misuse it. They're going to use it to justify something or take it in a different direction, or they never understand it. That's because they don't have God inside them. So when God tells you grow in grace, He's saying, Christian, those of you that are saved, those of you that have Jesus Christ in you because you've accepted Him as your Savior, there's more to it than being saved. Now look to grow. Look to go forward. Look to add to what God wants you to have now that He's saved you. And so grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love making this statement to Christians. I didn't come to church because I'm scared if I didn't, I'd go to hell. I came to church this morning to learn more about the one who loved me and died for me. Amen? Isn't that what it says? It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge there of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I need to learn more about Him. He knows all about me. I don't know Him like He wants me to know Him. Amen? That's part of the Christian life, is I want to learn more about Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, just listen. It says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'm not supposed to search the scriptures so I can grow mentally. Some Christians get proud about what they know about the Bible that other people don't know. God says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If you aren't careful, you can, well, that's once again, you can take what the Bible teaches and it affects you in a wrong way. And makes you proud and arrogant instead of humble and tender-hearted. All right? So, I do want to know the doctrines of the Bible, but that's not the end. Since He died for me and shed His blood for me, then I want to bring glory to Him, and it is spiritually healthy to think while you study the Bible, I want to glorify the Lord, I want the Lord to be glorified. Now, God says here, grow in grace. Grow in grace. To grow in grace means, first, you've been saved by grace. Then, because remember, before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and dead things can't grow. Right? So before I was saved, I was dead to God. Then I trusted Jesus. He saved me by His resurrection power. He gave me spiritual life, and He now enables me to grow. If you're lost, you can't grow because you're under the curse of the law, and the wrath of God, the Bible said, abides in you. And the incorruptible seed of the Word of God been planted in you and been germinated by your faith in the Word of God, and it's your spiritual growth that proves you've been saved and have eternal life in you. You say, well, preacher, illustrate it a little bit. If I put a rock in the ground, it doesn't grow. Go figure. It has no life in it. If I plant a seed, all right, if I plant a tree, it will grow. If I plant a seed, it grows. It has life in it. The Bible is called the seed of God. When it's put in you, it's germinated by your faith, and when you respond to it properly, it saves you, and then as you read it, it grows you. It grows you and helps you. Take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 1. Right in the middle of your Bible, go to Psalm chapter 1. We're talking about growing in grace. I would think people pick churches for weird reasons, I think. One thing I've watched happen as a pastor is I watch people come to church and they'll pick a church based on their lifestyle. I'll pick a church where I can go and where everything agrees with how I live. There's no changing, there's no conviction, there's no push to go higher for God. I just pick a church. I've heard people in my family say this. I hate conviction. They go to a big mega church, and this is in another state. They say, I can't stand it when the pastor preaches and I feel bad about my sin. I heard them, that one of my family members said that. So I know people pick churches based on different things. I think the main reason you're supposed to pick a church is where you can grow spiritually, where you can learn more about the Lord, and where you can grow closer to God. And that happens only through the Bible. Amen? That happens only through the Word of God. If I go to a church, if you pick a church that's based on your lifestyle, no conviction, how do you grow? You mean everything you do is all right? God never has to tell you no? Can I tell you something? I've been saved 34 years. God's still telling me no. Amen? Now, God doesn't tell me no on everything, but He points out my wicked heart. And there, God said, rein that in. God says, knock you upside the head, boy. You have to allow, how else do you grow as a child of God? God has to be able to correct you, or you can't grow. All right? First, we're talking about growth this morning. Look at Psalm chapter 1. We looked at it last week. I want to look at it in a little different way. Look at verse 1. Verse 3 is what I'm going to focus on. But watch this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you don't walk in the counsel, notice the word ungodly. It does not say wicked. It says ungodly. I know people think, well, they're not, killing people and robbing banks, and there's wickedness that hurts people. This says ungodly people. You know what it takes to be ungodly? You have no use for God. God says, don't get counsel from people who have no use for God. Not that are wicked, it says that are ungodly. You know what the average American thinks about God this way? God's nice, God's not bad, I just don't have any use for Him. Don't get counsel from people like that. Don't listen to the advice from people who have no use for God. They're ungodly. That's not that I hate God. I just don't care what God thinks. That's an ungodly. I know ungodly Christians. They have no use for the Bible. Now they're saved, and I'm glad they've trusted Jesus, and I'm glad they're on their way to heaven. But they live ungodly lives. What's God think about your music? What's God think about how you dress? What's God think about your friends? What does God think about your entertainment? What does God think about your priorities in life? I don't care what God thinks. That's an ungodly person. God is of no use to them. So don't take advice from ungodly people, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And the scornful in your Bible is critics and negative people that criticize and complain. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, if you let the word of God help you and make it your focal point in your life, verse 3 kicks in, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf all shall not wither. And what a verse. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It doesn't say money-wise. It says God makes your life prosperous as you focus on the Bible. And to whatever degree you make God's word, God helps you in your life. God just doesn't, well, I guess the Lord's not helping me now. Oh, look, things went well. The Lord's helping me. God's not happenstance or work. God doesn't do that. As you focus on the Bible and make God's word your priority, God helps you. Amen. God helps your mind think right and helps you make decisions. And he shall be, if you do verse 2, then verse 3 happens, and you become like a tree. Now, this year, pray that you can grow like a tree grows. You say, how? A tree just doesn't grow tall. A tree grows downward, too. It goes both ways. That means pray you grow downward in humility as well as you grow upward in spirituality. That means you're going to learn more. For you to grow properly, you have to learn more of how unworthy you are and how desperately wicked your heart is. Look, I'm learning to trust the Lord because I can't trust me. I'm learning to depend on the Lord. I've not arrived. I'm not there yet. I'm trusting the Lord now more than I did when I got saved. But I'm learning. What should I do? Maybe I should pray about it. Maybe I should do more than just think about it. Maybe I should ask God what He wants me to do. Amen? That's me learning. That's me growing downward so I can grow upward. Salvation in Christ, God's eternal purpose for your life, the doctrine of the Word of God, just like the roots grow deep, sinking, seeking for water, so you should dive into the Word of God and drink. Ephesians 5:26 says, just like the roots of a tree go down looking for water. You ever noticed how quickly they can get into a septic system? They're looking for water. What am I supposed to be looking for? Water. The water of the Word of God. I grow towards it. This is what makes me grow downward. Now, I think this year, for you to grow, pray to have more love and desire for God so you could draw nearer to Him in prayer and have a sweeter sense that you're His child. Just as a tree goes upward and provides shade and bears fruit as it grows, pray that the Lord would give you opportunities to grow upward, to influence people for Him, and that He'd give you fruit and that your fruit would remain. God's illustration of a faithful believer is not only a tree, but we're also compared to children. We're to grow like babes on the pure milk. Once again, this is water. This is also the milk of the Word of God. We're supposed to grow slowly, a little each day. You know, it's neat. You know, we studied Deuteronomy this morning in Sunday school, and he says, little by little, I will drive out the enemy from you. Nobody's an instant Christian. You're instantly saved, but you're not instantly a successful Christian. You know how God grows you? The same way He grows everybody, little by little, day in and day out. That's why somebody said, well, I went to church once, didn't get anything out of it. That's not how you grow. You make church a priority in your life, and as you come to Sunday school, you're taught the Bible little by little. If you got the whole everything at once, God knows it would ruin us. You ever heard that? You get a little bit in the ship, but if you get too much, it'll sink your ship. You want your boat to float, right? That's why God, this morning, you'll get a little truth, a little to help you. Next week, you'll get a little more, a little. That's how God works. God doesn't give you the whole load. Amen? Watch this. It's the rewards of commitment. It's the rewards of when you say, I'm going to make God a priority in my life, then God says, then I can grow you, little by little. A child grows evenly all over. We're supposed to grow slowly. We are supposed to grow as children grow in strength, so we can eventually walk without fainting. Then we can learn to run without weariness. And God tells us we can finally mount up with wings as eagles. There's all types of growth available. Did you know a child grows evenly all over? So are you. You're not supposed to grow in one area only. You should pray that your growth and grace is in all areas and it's balanced. Your stand for right should grow with your love for others. If you're unbalanced, you can appear to be a dwarf body with a giant head, right? Or can you imagine someone that doesn't grow physically in their torso, but one of their arms grows? So now they're 30 years old and they drag this thing around them. I understand, you probably get it. I probably took it too far. But you're supposed to grow all over. I know some Christians, they only grow in one area of their life. I watched one Christian say, nope, I'm not growing in my music. I'm done. There's no area you're done in your Christian life. Till I get to heaven, God wants to work in my life and in my heart and in every area. God wants to help me as a dad. God wants to help me as a... I've not arrived in any area. I may be a little better than I was, but there's no area... The only reason you don't grow in every area is because you tell God no. God, I'll change here, but don't you dare touch this area right here of my life. And this area here, don't even go there. A lot of people draw lines for God and they say, I'll change over here, but don't... God better not touch my heart about this. And guess what? God won't. God won't. When you come to God for you to grow, it takes an open heart. It's unhealthy for a Christian not to grow in grace, just like it's unhealthy for a tree or a child not to grow. You have to understand, with any person in business, do you understand if any person in business, if they don't win, they lose? Did you know it's the same thing spiritually? Nobody here, myself included, stagnates in the Christian life. You don't reach a point where, well, I'm not going forward, and I'm not going backwards either. Can I tell you something this morning? You're either growing or you're shrinking, but you're not stagnating. That's why you want to keep going forward. You want to keep growing in your Christian life. You don't, it's like, oh, I've just been where I've been for years. There's no such thing. If you're not helping and strengthening yourself spiritually with the Bible, you're losing strength. You want to make sure that you grow. The wise man chooses to get wiser. The Christian who does not learn more of his Lord and become more like him knows less of his Lord and becomes less like his Lord. Your muscles are either strengthened by your effort or they're weakened by your path of no resistance. They say one thing that's killing Americans is this sitting. They're starting to learn in school. It's good if a child doesn't sit all day long. It's good if they get up and their blood circulates. If the Lord ever gives us a Christian school, I've thought of changing that. Thought it'd be nice to have one class where you sit down. It'd be nice if you had another class where you could stand and take notes. You know, stand and learn, then do the next. You know, you understand? Sitting is killing Americans. The lifestyle where we just sit and do nothing. It's causing a lot of health problems. Now, our happiness declines as our spirituality fades. The only direction for a child of God is forward. Growing in grace is so important. There's only one source for grace, and you get that from the Lord. How do you grow? What does it mean to grow in grace? Seeking to grow means growing in faith. I need to grow in trusting God's word for my life. All that God has said is true. My problem is that I don't believe it. Let me restate it this way. I believe the whole Bible, but I don't live the whole Bible. That better? I'm learning to live the Bible, but I don't live the whole Bible. That's part of the Christian life, right? I'm learning to incorporate it in my life. I'm learning to trust. There's a trembling faith that says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, that grows upward to a faith which staggers not at the promise of God, like Abraham believes that he who is promised is able also to perform. Grow in your faith to believe more truth from the Word of God. Let your daily faith increase in its simple, entire, and complete rest in the Bible. Next, I believe growing in grace would mean growing in love. Growing in love. Growing in my ability to love more people. Let me give you an example. I think it's great that President Trump killed that evil general over in Iran. He was a murderous tyrant, but the moment that missile hit, the burning started and he went to hell. I'm not glad anybody goes to hell. Of course I wish he would have gotten saved. But if you'd heard what he had written and what he has said against Christianity, against the Bible, against the Lord Jesus, he was blasphemous. My ability to love people grows as I grow spiritually. I don't put my stamp. Look, if I love you, I don't put my stamp of approval on wrong that you do. I didn't approve of what he did, but I also realized when that general died last week, he went straight to hell. And he's been burning now for several days, and it's not stopped. I should love every person because God loves them. I don't approve of what every person does. Love is not approval. That's different. But I should be able to look at every person and say, I love you, and if I can help you, I will. Regardless of what you can do for me, right? That grows as you grow in the Lord. You learn to love like God loves. You don't approve of sin. You don't approve of wrong. Sin should make you sick and disgust you. But you can still love like God loves. And you can learn to love that way. Dr. Wendell Evans, I remember him saying, he tells of the time when God gave him, in his Christian life, a love for all people. I never forgot that. Had a man come over to our house when we were in Martinsburg, and he helped me put in a shower. He was a plumber, been a plumber for years. He was in the church. He taught Sunday school. And I remember he said, we hauled the shower in, and I'd already dug out the cement and put the trap in, and he was setting it. He was doing things I didn't know how to do. And I remember he just said, the greatest day of my life is when I surrendered to the Lord and God helped me love people. That's two people in my life that God's let me come across that said, I remember when God touched my heart about loving people. Neither one of them were compromising Christians. They were great people. But learning to love. What's it mean to grow in grace? I believe you grow in your faith. I believe you grow in your love. I think, second of all, take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What's it mean to grow in grace? If I want to grow this year in grace, I want to grow like a tree. I want to go downward in my humility. I want to grow upward in my ability to reach and help others. I want to grow in my faith. I want to grow like a child grows. I want to grow evenly. I don't want to grow disproportionately. I want to grow in my faith. I want to grow in my love. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 12. If you don't know this verse, and if it's not marked in your Bible, it's probably one of the most referenced verses, and every Christian should have it marked in their Bible. Watch this. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, watch this, are not wise. God says one of the most foolish things you can do is compare yourselves to other people. And every time you make somebody else your standard for what's right, you stop growing spiritually. For you to grow, who's the standard? The Lord Jesus has to be the standard, and the Bible tells me what's right and wrong, not somebody else. What somebody else says and what the world says will always change. It never stays the same. Look, take evolution. They used to believe it was several million years. Now it's several billion years. It keeps changing. If you go all the way back to when Darwin was teaching it, it's changed every 15 years. It'll always change. What they teach is that's how come the sex revolution hit us in the 60s. Then it went to homosexuality in the 80s and 90s. Now it's went to transgenderism, and now it's going to pedophilia. It's going to keep on changing. It gets worse. It doesn't get better. What the world teaches is never consistent. I'm never to compare. Well, they do it. God says, that's not wise. They aren't your standard. I believe if you grow in grace, that brings me to my next point. I learn not to compare myself with others. I learn, look, God does not hold me accountable for what you do. God holds you accountable for what you do. And you're going to stand before God for your decisions, for your actions. I will not. Do you know what I'm going to stand before God for? My decisions and my actions. That's called fearing God. If you fear God, you know you're going to stand before Him one day. You're going to give an account of yourself. That's why you shouldn't go out and kill somebody today. You say, well, that's pretty basic. That's fearing God. That's realizing I don't want to do wrong because of the evil that will come from it. God will hold me accountable. God says, do not compare yourself with other. Yeah, notice how the verse starts. We dare not. Don't you dare compare yourself with somebody else. What would happen this? You know, I'm all for having heroes, and I've had Christians in my life that God has put that have helped me and inspired me to grow. But if God wants them to grow this far, watch. If God wants them here, and I make them my standard, and God wants me here, as long as I compare myself with them, I never go higher. I only go up to their level. What if God wants you to do more? But you can't because you're so concerned about what other people think. What a verse. Amen? What a verse to say, I will not compare myself. I think the greatest mistake Christians make is they compare themselves to other Christians. And then they use their wrong. Well, they do this. How come I can't? Well, maybe God doesn't want you to. Maybe God told them no and they don't care. Maybe God wants more from you. Maybe God's trying to help you get beyond them, but you made them the standard. And so you say, well, they do it, so I do. We dare not. If you want to grow this year, spiritually, get your eyes off other people. Make the Bible your standard and let God grow you. But as long as your eyes on, well, I'm watching them and I'm watching them and I'm watching them, God can't grow you. What a verse. There's so much in this verse. There's so much, watch this, that's helped me as a Christian. Amen. And I'm really hoping it helps you as a child of God. And most of the time, when we compare ourselves, every once in a while you'll get somebody's positive trait, but most of the time we use others as an excuse for our sin. Well, they smoke marijuana. Oh, do you realize if I used all the great preachers of the past, did you know Moody was obese? Like he was over 400 pounds? He was huge. Did God use D.L. Moody? Yes, he did. To see a lot of people saved, right? Did you know Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of the 1800s, smoked cigars? Did you know one preacher 30 years ago over in Pasco, Washington, Dallas Dobson, he preached on the radio and he had a cuss button on his pulpit. He was a former police officer. He got, say, he had a big church. I think it was like 1,500 people. But man, he preached the Bible. He rode his Harley to church. All of his staff rode Harley. All the assistant pastor. Pow, 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 pow. I think that's cool. But guess what? He cussed when he preached. So he didn't want it going out on the air. Every time when he was preaching, he'd blankety blank blank devil and blank blank. You say, why would you say that? Okay, listen closely. If I look at the past and preachers of the past, I could take the bad traits of each one of them, not their good traits, and I could become a real reprobate. Now, you could use all of them as an excuse. Everybody see what I'm doing? Don't compare yourself with others. Everybody has bad traits. And everybody has good traits. You let God grow you as God wants to grow you. And quit using others as an excuse why you don't do this. Or why you don't do... You don't know what's going on in other people's lives. What you know is what God's touching your heart about. Amen. What does it mean to grow in grace? I think be careful. Make sure that your main goal this year is not to become a better Christian. That in itself means selfishness. God's Word tells me as a Christian, I'm supposed to lose myself, not measure myself by others. Did you know the greatest Christian in this room this morning doesn't know that they're the greatest Christian? And it's the Christian this morning that's measuring themselves by everybody. Well, I'm better than them, and I'm better than them, and I'm better than them. I know I'm better than them. Did you know that the Christian this morning that thinks they're the best Christian in the room is the worst Christian? Do you know why? Because that's how you're looking at everybody else. Let me say it again because it's so helpful. The best Christian in the room this morning, I would dare say, thinks that they were the worst Christian here. It's one of the traits. Humility is something that comes with walking with God. Make sure your goal is not to become a better Christian. Your goal should be to grow in grace. Look, how about this? I want to increase my capacity to love so my friends can have more love, not so they can think of me as a loving person, right? I want to love you more as a pastor so you can have more love, not so you can think of me as a loving person, but so you can have more. Amen? I want my children to have more love. I want my wife to have more love. I want my friends and church members to have more love. What else does it mean? This year, if you want to grow in grace, how do you grow? Take your Bible and watch this. Look at Proverbs 13:20. Go to right in the middle of your Bible, go to Psalms, and then go to the right, Proverbs chapter 13, and look at verse 20. Got just a few more points here, but we're taking 2 Peter chapter 3, and God says, grow in grace. Oh, okay. Well, how do you do that? How do you grow in grace as a child of God? Well, you got to first be saved. And next, we're going through some points here. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That means, I'm going to apply this. If I want to grow in grace, I need to be around those that are more spiritually mature than I am, not those that agree with me. And if we aren't careful, you pick the people that you run with people that agree with you. My dad used to say, how many friends do you have that'll tell you when you're doing wrong? In your lifetime, count the people that'll tell you no. And Dad said, my dad told me, every time you find somebody that's willing to say, we shouldn't be doing that. He said, you might come across 5 in your lifetime. If you can find somebody that's willing to tell you no, that loves you enough to tell you no about something that'll hurt you, mark them. Ooh, that's a friend. That's not somebody that agrees with me. That's somebody that'll help me. They love me enough to tell me no. They're willing to risk my relationship with them to help me. Do you know how rare that is in this day and age? God says a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It's so important for every child of God to choose companions who challenge them spiritually, not compliment their lack of spiritual growth. You can't see character, but you can be inspired when others live by character and self-control. You can't see integrity, but you're inspired to strive for integrity when you see it displayed in others. My dad walked into a store, and they gave him more money in change than he needed. I remember that. That happened about 3 times when I was a kid. That affected me. Dad counted the change. He said, you gave me too much. Then I've been around people. The waiter or the cashier gave them more than was needed, and they're like, they can't count. It's their loss. My dad taught me integrity. It's not mine. I didn't earn it. I don't want it. He gave me too much. When you see integrity in others, it inspires you to have honesty and have integrity. Their character inspires your growth. Be around those that challenge you to go higher. You can't see honesty, but you're inspired to be as honest as possible when you see it in others. This is why it's important for all of us to be near people whom we would like to emulate. This is just another way of saying, please be careful who you hang around in 2020. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. You say, I don't know what a fool is. Look it up in Proverbs. A fool mocks at sin. A fool likes dark places. A fool doesn't believe the Bible. A fool talks all the time. You know what a wise man does? Read it. A wise man shuts his mouth. He's a man of few words. Read the traits of a fool in the Bible and say, if you act like a fool, I'm not going to hang around you. I don't hang around fools because it will destroy me, and I can't grow if I hang around fools. Listen carefully, because this goes deeper than just don't hang around the wrong crowd. I believe this means stay in a crowd that challenges you spiritually. Stay in a crowd that challenges you to be your best and make sure your associations are stronger Christians than you are. I don't have a problem with somebody that believes more than I do. I heard somebody say, you know, when I got saved in church, you know, I remember there was a man in the church that believed your Bible should always be black, you know, fundamental black. Well, I had a red Bible because I thought it'd be neat if the blood of Jesus is what washes away your sins and you put your trust in the blood. When I saw a black, red, or brown Bible, I said, ooh, I want the red one. Well, then he said, if you're saved, you ought to just have a black Bible. I went, here I am, you know, I think I've only been saved a year. I was like, now watch. Instead of me getting upset at him, the man that taught me soul winning said, God's going to introduce people in your life that believe things you don't believe. Why don't you let them inspire you that they're willing to take a stand for right rather than get offended at what they believe? If I thought it was right, I didn't have a TV at the time, and I think having a TV in my house has been one of the worst decisions I've ever made in my life. Our house was so much happier when we didn't have a TV. But when I heard, you know, if somebody said, you know, if I was watching Andy Griffin, you know how it goes? If I was watching Andy Griffin and somebody got up and said, oh, you shouldn't be watching Andy Griffin. Oh, Andy Griffin's out of hell. I've never heard anybody say that. But if somebody did, would you get upset at them if you were watching it, or would you appreciate their stand and say, God must have brought them in my life to help me grow, and I have not obviously arrived in my Christian life? It's amazing. Christians get so offended. Me making the statement about TV, I hate the TV in my house. I hate it. I wish they all would short out. Just, I wouldn't mind a power grid failure. Amen. I'm not sure, but right now, but anything good would come from it. I wish the internet would die. Oh no, my phone. If somebody makes a stronger statement and has convictions that I don't have, I shouldn't dislike them. I should appreciate that God's brought them into my life. Amen? How about next? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Go back to your New Testament. How do you grow in grace? How do you grow? If I'm going to grow in 2020, I want to grow spiritually. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to grow in grace. How do you do it? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. These are all verses that you could take and go home and look at. I try to introduce you to sections of your Bible. I hope you've read these before, but if you haven't, I hope it inspires you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. What a powerful verse. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Watch. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. He's saying, as I have lived the Christian life, led people to the Lord, started churches, I have found the more that I love, the less I'm loved. Well, why would I think then life's any more different? And I'm supposed to have a Facebook page that grows and those that you've had 369, what's that, invites to be a friend. 369 people, really? I'm just saying we live in a weird world. I don't mind being loved. I like being loved. Who doesn't, right? But Jesus hung on the cross and all the disciples forsook him except one. You know how the Bible starts in a garden in paradise? Do you know how the Bible ends in Revelation? It's a preacher all alone on an island. There is no crowd. Nobody's there except God. Interesting. Interesting thought. You say, what are you getting at? The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Please don't measure or display your spiritual growth or size. Oftentimes, in failing to display Christian maturity, one demonstrates it. A Christian, especially a mature Christian, knows how to meet his fellow Christians on their own level of conversation. Of course, by this I don't mean base conversations or living in sin. This means as you grow in grace, there are fewer people who will enjoy spirituality that you enjoy. The stronger has to use the vocabulary of the weaker, and if you're going to be used of the Lord to encourage spiritual growth in others, you'll have to live on the level of the weaker. When I talk to people about the Lord, I don't say, oh, glory to God, what a wonderful, eternal, inspired, blessed book we have here. Let me show you the blessed Word of God here. I don't down-talk it, but I'm trying to understand they've never seen the Bible before. I represent the Lord to them, and I'm not to talk on a plane that they can't understand. I do have to come down to their level to help communicate with them. That's how come I was taught, you always go soul winning with a small Bible. You don't want to intimidate. Now, that doesn't mean I'm ashamed of the Bible. But when I go up to a house, my Bible's normally in my pocket. Then I talk to them, and I get to know them. Then I ask them if I could show them how to go to heaven. Then they, if we invite in or we do it at the door, amen. But the spiritual up here has to learn how to come down to those so that they can reach more. This is why true depth in Christianity can appear shallow. This is why the most mature Christian is often recognized as a immature Christian because he's spiritually strong enough to meet everybody else on their own level and help serve them. Jesus became more lonely as he approached the top of the mountain. He left the multitude and went with the 12. After a while, he left 9 of the 12 and took only 3. And it wasn't long until even the 3 were fast asleep and he was alone with the Father. This means that the best Christian can be also the loneliest Christian in the world. Did you ever stop to think that the burden of reconciliation always rests with the strong and not the weak? If I'm going to help people be right with me, I don't wait till they apologize. If I think somebody's offended with me, it's my job to go to them. Not, well, when they're ready to get right, they'll come and apologize. That's a weak Christian. Jesus said, if you think your brother has aught against you, stop praying and go to him. Leave your gift at the altar and go make it right. You can't make them accept an apology, but you can apologize. Amen. That's good. That's good preaching. Next, a mature Christian measures his strength in how many people he can help and encourage and lift. Jesus said, the greatest among you won't be your master. The greatest among you is a what? A servant. So, strength is measured when we're together as a Christian. Strength is measured in how many people can you help? How many people can you be a blessing to? Can you be an encouragement to? That's spiritual strength. There's some people that, you know, I've watched in the years. Every once in a while you'll see somebody come to church and they always come in, you know, they come in late and they leave early so they don't have to talk to anybody. So the last thing I want to do is get to know anybody. Then God can't use you, because you serve God by serving people. And until you serve people, you can't serve God. Well, I just love the Lord, but I don't love anybody else. Really? That's foolishness. And God doesn't measure the Christian life that way. Amen? You're measured as a Christian by your ability to serve and help others, not live for yourself. Amen? This morning's message is, I want to grow in grace in 2020. And I wanted to give you a few points on how can I do that. What do I not want to do? And I tried to use the Bible and give you some guidelines. I hope this encourages you. I hope it helps you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, to grow spiritually, to grow closer to you, to walk with you more, to love you more. I just pray that please you'd help these people.